This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
This is the New York Times Book Review. I'm Philip Moore for Radio Reading Services. Let's begin our time together with the Editor's Choice column published online April 4th, 2024, with seven new books recommended. Gregory Callis begins the column, "Where are all the books about work?" That question lands in our inbox from time to time. And no wonder. In terms of hours and paychecks and sense of identity they impart, jobs are a consuming part of our lives that authors do indeed too often neglect. So this week we recommend three books that put the world of paid labor front and center. Adele Waldman's novel, Help Wanted, is set in a suburban box store. Hamilton Nolan's The Hammer assesses the current state of union organizing. And Jane Kamensky's Candida Royale and the Sexual Revolution takes the measure of a proto-girl boss who went from starring in pornographic movies to launching her own production company with a feminist slant. Also recommended this week, a look at Saddam Hussein's state of mind as America and Iraq approached war in 2003. A study of African-American literature as a reflection of Black history, a warning about the impacts of climate-fueled migration, and in fiction, Percival Everett's sparkling riff on the story of Huck Finn. This time, centering on the character of Huck's fellow runaway, Jim. Happy reading. And topping off the list of seven recommended titles is James by Percival Everett. In this reworking of the adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Jim, the enslaved man who accompanies Huck down the Mississippi River, is the narrator. And he recounts the classic tale in a language that is his own, and with surprising details that reveal a far more resourceful, cunning, and powerful character than we knew. Dwight Garner's review says, luxuriates in language. Everett, like Twain, is a master of American argot. This is Everett's most thrilling novel, but also his most soulful. Published by Doubleday, $28. Next on the list, Candida Royale and the Sexual Revolution, A History from Below, written by Jane Kamensky. In 1984, Candida Royale changed the porn industry when she co-founded the female-targeted Femme Productions. As Kamensky convincingly argues in this scholarly and engaging tribute, the performer, producer, and director was more than a feminist pioneer. Her life mirrored that of the sexual revolution itself. From Rich Jizwiak's review, her rigor and thoroughness demand that the reader take seriously an underdog who made her name in a stigmatized industry. This book is a labor of empathy that refuses to simplify or valorize its subject. Published by Norton, $35. Next up is the third featured title, Help Wanted by Adele Waldman. Waldman's long-anticipated follow-up to her 2013 debut, The Love of Affairs of Nathaniel P., applies her sharp sense of relational drama and dark comedy to the retail workspace. The big box store is Town Square, and the cast of characters who toil there are as surprising and varied as the merchandise they stock. Alexander Chang's review says, Waldman is skilled at building momentum and tension throughout intricacies of plot. The book shines whenever the group is together, concocting plans in search of a shared sense of hope. Published by Norton, $28.99. The next book, The Hammer, Power, Inequality, and the Struggle for the Soul of Labor, written by Hamilton Nolan. The longtime labor reporter and former Gawker journalist's lively account of the current landscape of the American labor movement paints colorful portraits of union organizers from across the country, alongside a pointed critique of the AFL-CIO. Willa Glickman's review says, offers an impressive array of scenes from the front lines of the 21st century economy. As The Hammer shows, the kind of solidarity that might naturally arise from shared frustrations on the conveyor belt doesn't necessarily translate to the broader movement all on its own. Published by Hachette, $30. Next up, The Achilles Trap, Saddam Hussein, the CIA, and the Origins of America's Invasion of Iraq, written by Steve Call, C-O-L-L. Call's book stretches from Hussein's earliest days in power to the U.S. invasion of Iraq in March 2003, tracking the dictator's state of mind with the help of 2,000 hours of rarely accessed audio from high-level meetings that Hussein, quote, recorded as assiduously as Richard Nixon, Call says. Noreen Malone's review says, most of the story is vivid and sometimes even funny. Unlike his main character, Call succeeds in part because he has an eye for dramatic irony. Published by Penguin Press, $35. Next up, On the Move, The Overheating Earth and Uprooting of America, by Abram Lustgarten. The climate is changing, says the author, a climate scientist, and drought, fire, and heat waves are going to cause massive demographic shifts. To get a sense of the scale of these changes, the author examines studies and models that simulate future migration scenarios and combines his insights with first-person reportage. The results are often alarming and admittedly speculative, but never less than compelling. John Gertner's review. The author's eloquent personal insights are astonishing as well as gripping, presenting an intimate understanding of why poor agricultural workers, beset by droughts and calamitous economic circumstances, risk everything. Farrar, Straus, and Giroux, $30. The Black Box, Riding the Race, by Henry Louis Gates, Jr. In his latest book, the Harvard scholar shows how African American writers have used the written word to shape their reality, despite constraints imposed on them from outside, using the metaphor of the box to reflect ordeals withstood and survived since Africans were first brought to this continent. Tobe Fullerin's review says, the allure of this book and the reason for its existence are the narrative links he draws. This is a literary history of Black America, but it is also an argument that African-American history is inextricable from the history of African-American literature. Published by Penguin Press, $30. That brings us to the end of this particular Editor's Choice column. Now let's jump ahead a week to April 11th. With six new books recommended that week. Gregory Callis begins this column. Our recommended books this week include satirical novels, one about identity politics and victimization, the other about artificial intelligence and gender roles. along with Tana French's second crime novel about a Chicago police officer who retired to the Irish countryside. In nonfiction, we recommend The Story of a Deadly Avalanche, a philosopher's exploration of the concept of giving up, and the gratifyingly intimate audio version of Barbara Streisand's recent memoir, which she narrates herself. Happy listening and happy reading. Topping the list is that audio version of My Name is Barbara by Barbara Streisand. Certain of the, shall we say, eccentricities, oh, those ellipses, in Streisand's 992-page doorstep of a memoir get wonderfully ironed out in audio form. Its sprawling A-star is born anecdotes seem to find their natural form in the towering performer's 48-plus hours of discursive, disarming, and often gloriously off-the-cuff narration. Zachary Wolfe's review says, as Streisand recites the story of her life, she ad-libs off the written text, splices sentences, audibly shakes her head at dubious decisions, and altogether places us opposite her on the sofa with a cup of coffee for a two-day kibitz. Produced by Penguin Audio, 48 hours and 17 minutes. Next title on the list, Victim by Andrew Borga. Borga, spelled B-O-R-Y-G-A. Borga's debut is a lively social satire about the fetishization of victimhood following a young working-class student, Javi, who uses exaggerated stories of tragedy to earn attention and success. Borga is having fun, and he's inviting us to join in. Mateo Escapor's review says, let's be clear, though Borga is playing, he's not playing around. Through Javi's story, Borga humorously and scathingly calls out the gluttonous consumption of stories of victimhood. Published by Doubleday, $27. I find the next title intriguing myself. It is Annie Bott, B-O-T, written by Sierra Greer. On the surface, Annie Bott is a story about an AI sex robot that grows more and more sentient. But underneath this high-tech premise is a sharp and smart exploration of misogyny, toxic masculinity, selfhood, and self-determination. Lydia Kiesling's review says, a brilliant pas de deux, grappling with the ideas of freedom and identity, while depicting a perverse relationship in painful detail. Published by Mariner, $28. Written by Adam Phillips. In his latest book, Phillips' exploration of giving up covers the vast territory between hope and despair. We can give up smoking, sugar, or bad habit, but we can also give up on ourselves. Phillips proposes curiosity and improvisation as anecdotes to absolute certainty. Jennifer Lay's review. Phillips doesn't try to prevent us from thinking whatever it is that we want to think. What he does is repeatedly coax us to ask if that's what we really believe and how can we be sure. The book is published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. It'll cost $26. the next title on the list, The Darkest White, a mountain legend and the avalanche that took him, by Eric Blehm, B-L-E-H-M. In January 2003, 7 skiers and snowboarders were killed in an avalanche on a glacier in western Canada. Among them was the American snowboarder Craig Kelly. And the adventure writer Blehm turns this page-turner not just into a biography of the athlete, but a tribute to the sport itself. Addictive, thrilling, sometimes deadly. Simon Winchester's review. Probably the most unremittingly exciting book of nonfiction I have come across in years. I find myself reading late into recent nights, wholly transfixed by every paragraph, every word. Published by Harper, $32. The next book, The Hunter, by Tana French. For Tana French fans, every one of the thriller's writer's twisty and genius books is an event. This one, a sequel to The Searcher, once again sees the retired Chicago cop Cal Hooper, a perennial outsider in the Irish West Country hamlet of Arnettley. I'm pronouncing the name of the place wrong, I'm sure. Let's spell that A-R-D-N-A-K-E-L-T-Y. Arnakelty, that's a better stab at it, I guess. Caught up in the crimes, seen and unseen, that eat at the seemingly picturesque village. Sadie Stein's review says, the novel's greatest pleasures, genuine twist aside, reside in the specific intersection of outsider and native, and particularly the former's determined need to idealize, to claim, to tint whole rivers green. And we've reached the bottom of this Editor's Choice column list. We have a few more minutes left. Let's take a quick look at some banned books. The most challenged books of 2023, in fact. Here are the most targeted books of 2023. Amid a nationwide surge in book bans, memoirs and novels that deal with the experience of LGBTQ people or explore race receive the most challenges. We'll read as much of this column as we can in the time we have left. It was published online April 8th, 2024, and updated April 9th. If we don't finish, and I'm sure we won't, we will continue next week. The column is written by Elizabeth A. Harris. The most challenged books in the United States in 2023 continue to focus on the experiences of LGBTQ people, or explore themes of race, according to a report released Monday by the American Library Association. Amid an explosion of book bans across the country, the association counted more than 4,200 challenged titles, which is the most in a single year since it began tracking this information more than two decades ago. In the years leading up to 2021, when the increase really took off, the average number of titles challenged in a given year was about 275, according to the Library Association. More and more we're seeing challenges that say simply this: this book has a gay character, or this book deals with LGBTQ themes, even if it has no sexuality in it, says Deborah Caldwell Stone, the director of the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom. We're seeing those naked attacks on simply the visibility of and knowledge about LGBTQ lives and experiences. End of quote. Traditionally, books were challenged when individual parents raised concerns about a specific book their child had encountered in school. And libraries have long had processes in place so that parents could prevent their children from borrowing books they consider inappropriate. But organized groups have led the charge in this escalation, challenging large batches of titles in circulating lists online, sometimes including dozens or even hundreds of books, to encourage parents and others to seek them out at their local libraries en masse. Parents and organizers who have pushed to remove certain titles say they are trying to protect children from stumbling on books that are explicit or inappropriate for their age. Increasingly, Caldwell Stone said these challenges are taking place not only in school libraries, but in public libraries as well. According to the Library Association's report, 54% of the challenges they tracked took place in public libraries. The report also highlighted efforts to counter book challenges. Some local elections and initiatives have come out against those trying to restrict access to books. Federal legislators have held hearings on the subject, and those who oppose restricting access to certain books have had some legal victories. Here are the 10 most challenged books of 2023, along with the reasons why they were targeted. Several, including Gender Queer, The Bluest Eye, and All Boys Aren't Blue, have been among the most frequently challenged in previous years. Number 1, Gender Queer by Maya Kobabe, K-O-B-A-B-E. An illustrated memoir by Kobabe, who is non-binary, was challenged because it contained LGBTQ content and was called sexually explicit. Number 2, All Boys Aren't Blue by George M. Johnson. This memoir about the joys and challenges of growing up Black and queer was challenged because of LGBTQ content and because it was considered sexually explicit. Number 3, the title of the book. This Book Is Gay by Juno Dawson, a nonfiction book that explores growing as an LGBTQ person and includes topics like sex and stereotypes. This was challenged because it included LGBTQ content, which was considered sexually explicit. Number 4, The Perks of Being a Wallflower by Stephen Chbosky. This best-selling book for young adults is about a high school freshman in the suburbs in the 1990s. It was challenged for its LGBTQ content, as well as its inclusion of profanity, drugs, and rape. Number 5, Flamer by Mike Curato. Flamer, a graphic novel for young adults that draws on the author's own experience, is about a child at Boy Scout camp who is coming to terms with being gay. It was challenged for LGBTQ content and for being sexually explicit. Number 6, The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. This was Morrison's 1970 debut and follows a Black girl who wishes for blue eyes so that she will fit the standards of conventional white beauty. The book also addresses racism and sexual abuse. It was challenged for its inclusion of rape and incest, and because its content was seen as promoting equity, diversity, and inclusion. Tied with, at number 6, Me and Earl and The Dying Girl by Jesse Andrews. A bestseller about high school students, this novel was challenged because of profanity and because it was deemed sexually explicit. Also at number 6, Trix by Ellen Hopkins. This novel about teenagers who fall into prostitution was challenged for being sexually explicit and including drugs, rape, and LGBTQ content. Since there were so many at number 6, the next title is number 9, Let's Talk About It by Erica Moen and Matthew Nolan, a graphic novel about sex and relationships. This was challenged for being sexually explicit and including LGBTQ content. Number 10, Sold by Patricia McCormick. This National Book Award finalist is about a 13-year-old girl who is sold into prostitution. It was challenged because it was considered sexually explicit and included depictions of rape. A correction was made on April 9, 2024. An earlier version of this article misstated the title of one of the targeted books. The correct title is This Book is Gay, not The Book is Gay. That concludes this column and our time together, so we don't have to continue the column next week, but we will pick up next week with some more recommendations from the New York Times Book Review here on the radio that reads to the Tri-State, WRRS. I'm Philip Moore. Thanks for joining me this week. Let's get together again next week. Thanks for listening.